Can you guys feel the presence of God here this morning? I'm actually finding it hard to stand here at the moment. And I want to ask you guys, and I've asked the Lord now, I've asked the Holy Spirit, if this is the message you want me to preach this morning, then I will. But if you've got anything else, then you speak through me. And I want to be obedient to that. And I want to ask you guys this morning, are you on fire for Jesus? Okay, there's about three people aside. Because the Lord pointed out to me just now, if we're on fire for Jesus, it's a case of, I'm on fire for you, Lord. Or are we standing in the background while everybody else carries on and we're not on fire for him? He spoke sternly to me now while we were praising and worshiping. Time is short, yet we are so meek and mild that everybody just carries on and we get passed by and nobody pays attention to the fact that Jesus is trying to speak through us to them. So are we on fire for Jesus? That's how it should be when we're coming before people, that we're on fire for Jesus. That when we're standing before them, we are shaking, wanting to tell them about the things of the Lord. Maybe this is a sensitive subject, but when we stand before people, have you sanitized your hands? Before speaking to them about Jesus. I'm guilty of it as well. So once again, are we on fire for Jesus? Because I want to be on fire for Jesus. No longer do I want me, myself, and I to come in the way of that. No longer do I want it to be a case of, what's that person going to think of me? It's going to be a case of, what does Jesus think of me? And that's what matters. Are we lukewarm? Are we ready for him to spit us out of his mouth? Or are we on fire? Because that's the challenge this morning. The title of the message this morning is Soil of the Heart. We've been through some of this stuff in home group, but I would like to go through it with you guys today. You know, sometimes we come into the service and we come in with a preconceived idea that we might have certain things that we want to hear or see. We might want our ears tickled when somebody is standing before us and bringing the word. But are we coming here with a softened heart to draw near to Jesus, to hear his word and to have it work through us? Or are we coming here to hear what we want to hear? Because I think in some aspects, sometimes we walk through that door. I'm guilty of it as well. I'm not just speaking whatever the case might be, but you know what, at the end of the day, in all of us, there are things that we need to change. And sometimes I walk through that door and I go, oh, you know, sometimes that guy speaks too long. You know, sometimes his sermons are a bit short. I don't like the way he brings across some of the verses. You know that seed is from God. Are we telling the Lord that, yeah, you're too much, Lord? You know, my heart, I don't even know how to explain it at the moment, how my heart feels at the moment. I just feel like crying. Because we don't take it serious enough. We are not taking it serious enough. When it comes to prayer, I need to climb on a bicycle and exercise. That was my fault. I've got a TV program I want to watch. It's cold outside. I don't want to drive there and go have prayer meeting. We need to step out of our comfort zone, people. to show Jesus the love we have for him. What are we showing him? Sure. Okay, so we're going to move into Luke 8, 4 to 8, ESV version, and we're going to be speaking about the parable of the sower. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it. And then some fell into good soil, and grew, and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let that sink in a little bit. We're going to go through a little bit more into Luke and just open up some parts of this. If we go to Luke 8, 9 to 11, the purpose of the parables. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. It has been given to us to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. Are we seeing but not seeing? Are we hearing but not understanding? Because the key has been given to us to understand the kingdom of God. So now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. If we look at 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 1 Peter 1, 23, we see in those two verses, once again, the seed is the word of God. So 1 Corinthians 3, 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave growth. 1 Peter 1, 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. It's not stale and dead, it's living. It's the living word of God. Is it growing in our hearts? Are we allowing him to grow that seed in our hearts? So now we're going to move on to Luke 8, 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Before I carry on, I just want to ask a question. Just ponder on it and think about it. In the parable of the sower, which soil are you? Just think about that. So the wayside, we see that those are the people that receive the word with hardened hearts. And the wayside soil represents hearing the word with no understanding. The word of God must be understood before it can truly bear fruit. You know that Satan works during teaching and preaching through distraction, taking our attention away what God is trying to plant in our hearts. There's a whole myriad of things that he uses. Thoughts pop into our head. Whoa, poop, did I close the tap? So then we focus on that instead of the word of God. take those things out. If we look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We cannot allow Satan to blind us. We cannot allow him to distract us. When we are here, let's make sure that the soil of our heart is good soil. When we are hearing his word, when we are going through his word, let's make sure the soil of our heart is good soil. If we move on to Luke 8, 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but those have no root, and they believe for a while, in time of testing, fall away. So, interesting. Rocky soil, they failed because the seed lacked moisture and therefore had no root to endure the time of temptation. So do we lack moisture? Are we not able to endure temptation? Are we not able to endure what we're going through? Some indications of lack of moisture: doctrine without feeling, experience without humility, practice without heart or love, faith without repentance, action without spirituality, zeal without communication, and most of all, not having the Holy Spirit, not having that moisture. We need the Holy Spirit, and if the Lord does not water us daily from the living springs of the hilltops of glory, we shall certainly die. Are we drawing daily or once a week? Water your plants once a week. They eventually wither away. Are we watering the seeds in our heart every day? Are we nurturing those things every day? Are we drawing near to Jesus every day? If we move on to Luke 8, 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. I think that one spoke hardest for me. You know, it says here that some respond to the word and grow for a while, but are choked and stopped in their spiritual growth by competition from unspiritual things. So what is that competition? Wealth. All the other things that we've got going on in our lives. I'm too busy with this, with that, with this. I've got this thing going on. I've got that TV program I need to watch. There's things happening in the world, Lord. I need to be focused on those things to see what the stats are and numbers are and keep up to date. Or are we up to date with our relationship with Him? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Are we seeking first His kingdom or are we seeking first News 24? opinions of others. I think the biggest one for all of us is finance. We need to be showing our love for our Lord Jesus Christ by putting those things aside. You know that those thorns grew there as well because the soil was good. But we're taking our eyes off what Jesus has for us. We're taking our eyes off the living word. And we're allowing other things to grow in our lives. Instead of weeding them out and allowing Him to grow His seed in our hearts, focusing purely on Him, holding on to Jesus no matter what. And then we all know, Luke 8:15, as for that is in the good soil, they are those who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Yo, that's a hard one in this world. Patience. Go to a fast food restaurant. Hey, 2 minutes is up, Baba. Where's my food? Same thing applies. Yeah, Lord, your time is up. I'll handle it. Don't worry. How often have we done that? How often do we say to the Lord, don't worry, Lord, I'm in control. I've got this. You've taken too long. I know what to do. And then we end up making a bigger bugger up. It looks like we've got control in that moment. But further on, things start to happen. Now we see that the good soil is the one that receives the word and bears fruit in their soil and in generous proportion. So it doesn't say anything about just bearing a little bit of fruit. In generous proportion. You know, the word also says you will know them by their fruit. Is that a reality in our lives? Are people able to look at us and say, I know Sally by her fruit? That's a challenge to all of us. Do the people around us know us by our fruit or by the decisions we make in this world with our own wisdom? So, as per the question I asked before, how do we see the four soils in our own lives? Like the wayside, sometimes we allow the word no room at all in our lives. Sometimes we just cut it off before it even gets into there. Before it even gets planted, we've cut it off. Because we've got preconceived ideas of what it should be. No, Lord, you can't be speaking to me like that. I think we've all walked that road. The stone places, we sometimes have flashes of enthusiasm in receiving the word and then it quickly burns out. Monday comes, hey, man, I'm going to tell the whole world. Tuesday comes, okay, maybe I'll tell one. Wednesday comes, no, I'm too lazy. I'm too comfortable. I've got things I need to do. For those of you that are studying, for those of you that have other commitments, exercise, whatever the case might be, cooking classes, I'm just throwing them all out there. We allow those things to take preference over this. We allow it. Nobody else. We do. And then, like the soil among the thorns, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches are constantly threatening to choke out God's word and our faithfulness.
So not just his word, also our faithfulness. And then like the good sort, the good ground, the word bears fruit in our lives. I want to be known for the fruit that I bear in every aspect of my life. I want people to know me as the person that always spoke about Jesus. I want people to know me as the person that loved them regardless. I don't want people to know me as the good cyclist, the funny oak, the cheeky oak, whatever the case might be. I want them to know me by the fact that I love Jesus and my light shines bright for that. So, in that being said, we're going to now move on to a lamp under a jar. Luke 8:16-18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Sure. Let me put my light over here. Eventually that light will be taken away. Are we hiding our light or are we shining bright for Jesus? Because you know it says here, what we think we have will be taken away. I don't want to be in that predicament. I don't want to be in a predicament where what I think I have in you, Lord, will be taken away. Why? Because I'm allowing all these other things to contaminate what I think I have. Truth by its nature is meant to be revealed, and God promised that it will be, regardless what the truth is. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Nothing. God has not set our lamps alight only for us to hide them. So, he has some ways that we can hear the word. We need to hear attentively and retentively. Go and Google that word, retentively. Hear believingly and obediently. Hear candidly and honestly. Hear devoutly and sincerely. Hear earnestly and spiritually. Hear feelingly and sensitively. Hear gratefully and prayerfully. Are we applying these aspects when we are listening to the Word of God? Or are we allowing our minds to run wild on other things? Are we taking notes during these things so that we can go and meditate and ponder on the Word of God? When we hear the Word of God and receive it with gladness, more will be given to us from God's spiritual riches. More will be given to us through His spiritual riches. Sometimes people think they have spiritually, but only seem to have. So now we're going to have a look at Revelation 3:14-22. I'm not going to read it all, but I just want to highlight a few things here. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and shame and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. That sinks deep. You know, when we go back and we have a look at Luke 8:16-18, and it says there, take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Look at what they say in Revelations. We think we are wealthy spiritually. Are we? We need to look deep. We need to be drawing near to God. And we need to be drawing from His spiritual riches. He anoints our eyes so that we may see. We need to be hearing attentively, retentively, prayerfully. We need to be applying these things when it comes to the Word of God. You know, it's not always about me, myself, and I. It's about Him and others. We need to start applying that. So I want to end off. Are we making sure that the soil in our hearts is good soil? When we walk in the door, have we prepared our hearts to make sure that that soil is good soil, so that when those seeds are planted, it's planted in good soil? When we hear, are we hearing the Word of God? As I just explained. Are we hearing the Word of God attentively and retentively? Are we hearing the Word of God believingly and obediently? Are we hearing the Word of God candidly and honestly? Are we hearing the Word of God devoutly and sincerely, earnestly and spiritually, feelingly and sensitively, gratefully and prayerfully? We need to sometimes be honest with ourselves and ask God to show us, Lord, where am I falling short? What do I need to cut out, Lord? And when He shows you, cut it out. No, Lord, don't worry. I can manage. I'll just put that there. Just an hour a day, Lord. And if He shows you something, cut it. Don't allow it to strangle what the Lord is trying to do in your life. And then, lastly, are we making sure that we are shining bright for everyone to see? Not when we feel it necessary to shine our light and then hide it away and then shine it and hide it away, just because we're worried about what people think. Even in the workplace, sometimes it's a difficult one. And we feel we need to hide our light. What are we showing the Lord by hiding our light? I don't love you enough. I don't love you enough, Lord, to actually shine my light permanently for you. I want to shine my light permanently for you, Lord Jesus. I don't care what people think. I care what you think, Lord. Because I love you, Lord, wholeheartedly and truly. So I want to leave you with that. And I want to ask you, when you come in on a Sunday morning, make sure that the soil of your heart has been prepared so that it is good soil. So when those seeds are sown, that it is sown in good soil. Not among the thorns, not on the rocks, not on the wayside, but in good soil. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Just highlight two verses around the passage that Bradley just read now. Revelation 3:13. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the church. And the passage is telling us he actually gave us the ears to hear. It's not like we don't have the ability, but our action is to do two things, to listen to the Spirit and to understand what he's saying. And that goes back to what we prayed in the beginning, to put into action what we hear. And he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in. We will share together a meal as friends. Now, that passage is often used to invite people into a relationship with God, but I believe that it's also to invite us into a deeper relationship all the time. Because maybe our hearts have 20 doors, maybe they have 100 doors. Which one is he knocking on today that he says, I want to come in this one? I want in this area of your life. Can we pray? I think we need to respond every time we hear the word like this. Father, we just thank you that we can come before you and humble ourselves. And going back to the worship this morning, we want to see you, we want to hear you, we want to know your voice. Lord, you've challenged us on the nature of our soil and to go and do some gardening in our hearts, to take out the rocks and the rubble that will not be conducive to gardening by the Spirit. That Revelation passage even talks about the fact that we think we are wealthy and we think we are doing well, but Jesus says, you do not realize we are wretched and pitiful and poor. Because we value ourselves by the currency of earth and not the currency of heaven. So, Father, today, as we just do a reevaluation in our hearts, we find the areas as you put your finger on them. And we want to say, Lord, we humble ourselves. If you want to just pray and just include yourself and say, Lord, here I am. I'm actually willing to identify myself. Lord, there's something I need to change in my life. You put your hand up. Those people at home, don't feel silly putting your hand up in front of the TV. Just do it. The Lord is the one who's seeing. You are the one, I'm not even looking at you. You're doing this before the Lord and saying, Lord, there's something I need to change. There's something I need to change. Speak to the Lord. You ask him to help you with that thing that you need to work on. And if you're sitting there and saying there's nothing I need to work on, then I pray that you would ask the Lord, show me what I need to work on. And if you are here today or at home and you don't know the Lord, you know in your heart, you maybe think you're a Christian. And just like Bradley said, that which we think we have will be taken away from us. If you have never really contracted with the Lord, you know if you've actually done that and said, Lord, everything I have, I give to you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. You know, the time when we will shut our eyes for the last time, we never know what that moment is. We never know when that moment is. And when that happens, you don't get another chance. Because that will be the reckoning second in our lives to decide, did you reject Jesus or do you accept him? That will be the day you find out if your name is really in the book of heaven and you counted in salvation, or you like those virgins that ran out of oil and were turned away at the door thinking that they were part of the bridegroom ceremony. If there's anyone here who needs to confess the Lord as your Savior, or anyone whose heart has grown cold, I'm going to pray so we can include you. And if you do pray this prayer, I want you to reach out to us and tell us that you did. Or come, if you're here physically, come up and tell us so we can just recognize that. Father God, I realize my heart is cold towards you, and that I haven't actually accepted you as my Savior, or that I've accepted you sometime, but maybe I glibly did it, and I realize now I need to renew that covenant with you. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart as wretched as I am, and accept the free gift of salvation, which is so simple to accept by faith. And to count me as your child, forgetting what happened in the past. And from today, I know because of faith in you that I have opened the door to you who's knocking. And in those areas of our lives where we needed to change for all of us, we let you in, Lord. We let you in. We really pray, Lord, that you would start to see fruit in our lives. Fruit that will last. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Amen. There's no coffee because we've closed down coffee for safety reasons and out of respect for the regulations, etc. If anyone needs prayer, please come forward and let's, Bradley and I are here, we can pray for you. Be praying for one another. Go and have a victorious week. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was awesome.